heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
So in one way or one regard, we could call these people the rulers of the universe, maybe the future rulers of the universe. Let me just remind you a couple of things here now. The size of Facebook. Do you remember the news articles when they were just passing 1 billion? You remember that? Because I remember it as well. Say 1 billion, like, wow. Like no social media outlet had ever passed that number. Can you imagine that? The number of active users, 1 billion. That's a lot of people. You know, it's a lot of people, right? And well, as of the first quarter of 2019, brace yourself, Facebook has 2.38 billion monthly active users. The origins of what the social media unit was supposed to be early on is far different than what it is today. And what's really concerning to me that I want to point out to you is, what do they look like tomorrow? Where are they going to be 5-10 years from now? Again, the whole idea of Facebook early on was to connect our social environments. And it was to bring our families in, our friends in, people we know in. It was to make that connectivity with people. And social media changed the way it was all going to be. I mean, Facebook was early in there. And, of course, Facebook was after the MySpace. Remember, before that, it was sort of that MySpace sort of thing. But Facebook sort of took that and did something bigger. And, of course, Zuckerberg developed this with those couple of brothers there in the college campus, as you recall. And it seemed innocent enough at the time, connecting people around the world. And really, it was about, again, connecting family, friends, that sort of thing. I remember seeing some of the earlier reports where that, like, a lot of bad people were going to these places as well. And a lot of, even I remember some reports, like even some of the bill collectors and some folks like that would go and kind of stake out people and see, you know, how to find out more about them. And of course, people kept sharing information. That's the one thing about social media. It always amazes me the amount and level of information that people are willing to share out there. It's mind-boggling, really. The fact is how much information will be put out there on social media. I don't think people truly realize. And then some of those stories started where people were putting things out there, and then they were finding out their homes were being robbed, or things of that nature were happening because they were putting that out there in the public square, and they really weren't paying attention to what was happening, what the fallout from that was. So the point is, we started sharing everything, you see, everything. And that opened it all up right there. And then, as you see, the numbers started to grow. Now, nobody comes close to the numbers that Facebook has. When I talk about the kinds of numbers I just shared with you, they're in a league of their own, people. Big time league of their own. And they've created a culture. Now, one of the big things you got to understand about social media, people, that it's free. And you have to remember the lesson you learned as a kid. Anything free is going to come at a high cost to you. That's something we learn as kids now. If it's free, it's going to come at some sort of a cost to you, big time. And the worst part about it is it's very unsuspecting, that cost. You don't always know what that cost is going to be at the moment you do it, but it's free at the moment. You don't have to take your credit card out or your checkbook. You know what I mean? It's free. What does free really mean, right? So what happened is we started being the product. We the users, and this is all social media now, because it's all free. Doesn't matter if it's Twitter or Pinterest or LinkedIn or whatever, it's free. But what is free? Well, we're being data mined, people. All this, you got to remember, that's lesson number one with all the conversations we have about social media. So there's a cost for all of this. And the cost is that our freedom is gone. That information we put out there in the public square is out there forever. You got to remember, hitting the delete button on your computer or your system at home or your business deletes absolutely nothing when it comes to the world of social media, people. Once it's out there, it's out there. Interesting things about the culture we're seeing about Facebook. You know, earlier this year, January, February, there was an interesting piece on CNBC. I want to read you this here. The Facebook culture has contributed to the company's well-publicized wave of scandals over the last couple of years, such as government spreading misinformation to try to influence elections and the misuse of private user data, according to many people who work there during the period, that is. They say Facebook might have caught some of these problems sooner if employees were encouraged to deliver honest feedback. But amid all these scandals, Facebook's share price fell nearly 30% and then 40% respectively. You remember that. You remember the news stories on that. They lost billions of dollars in some cases, right? Well, this story went on to say, and I quote, there's a real culture of even if you are flipping miserable, they use a different word there, but you need to act like you love this place. That's part of the culture, in other words, you see. Now, this is one ex-employee who left in October just this past year. It's not okay to act like this is not the best place to work. So that's sort of the message out there, you see. So it's referred to in a lot of these stories as a cult-like atmosphere, cult-like. Now, when you think of cults, you know, you can draw some connections there. What is a cult? Well, they say there's a really cult-like atmosphere coming out of Facebook, and it's causing a lot of challenges. It's a popularity contest, you see. Inc. ran another piece, same thing this year. And everything was going along really well. And then there was a long list of scandals. You remember hashtag delete Facebook was out there. Remember that? Mark Zuckerberg faced lengthy questioning by Congress. Remember he was called up on the Hill? And then a blistering New York Times expose accused Facebook's leaders of attempting to keep evidence of the Russian meddling in the 2016 election a secret from the public. And Facebook's own board, by the way, more than a year after the company's engineers discovered it. Now, this cult atmosphere has talked a lot out there. As I started to look and do a little bit of digging on the cult-like atmosphere, that's the one common denominator that everybody is talking about is this cult-like atmosphere that is in the hallways of Facebook. So as we start to really, what's important here that I want you to understand is what you're getting into. If you're on Facebook, I think this is an important conversation today to have with you. It's important for you to understand what you've got, what you're involved in, and, you know, what's the risk. But even more so than that, people, what's Facebook really up to? What's their ultimate plan? What's their ultimate goal? There's been some more recent stories we've been following and looking at here. I don't know if you've seen this in the past many weeks here, but they're now looking at a Facebook coin, their own currency. And it's pretty well indicated here. This would be the first real indication forces of corporate oligarchy are determined to ensure the new world order reflects their vision and is under their control. And Zuckerberg wants to run it. And that was in the Zero Hedge, some of this conversation. And then they go on to say, then once Facebook has a foot in the door and gains traction amongst its massive user base, and massive is the right word to use there, people, massive. Nobody comes close to Facebook. I mean, they are a continent unto themselves. Now, Zuckerberg has realized that. He's figured this all out very clearly. I mean, he's known this. This is what they're building over there. This goes on to say on Zero Hedge, all Facebook has to do is wait until the current assortment of global governments and their respective central banks fail. So what he's talking about doing is creating this cryptocurrency. You've been hearing a lot about this. It's very edgy. It's very controversial. But you get the whole concept of what a cryptocurrency is. It's a mindset, basically. You put something in. It's like you go into the bank. You put something into the bank, you get something out of the bank. It's a mindset. And the Facebook coin is another mindset of what they're looking at here. And so Zuckerberg's wanting to create his own currency. So it's, you know, you create your own environment so people don't leave there. You can begin to control the forces a little bit. You can control the conversation that way. Now, on its face, that may not be a problem, people, until you even look further on. When you start to see some of the history of Mark Zuckerberg and you see who this guy is and what's the motive here, I don't really know that he realized when he was in that college campus early on what he was really creating. He probably had some grandiose visions of gingerbreads dancing in his head of what the hell he was creating back then. But I don't know that it really is to the extent of what it is today if he really knew what this could do. Maybe he did. And now this thing has become its own universe, its own continent. They literally, they could create a caliphate. It's the Facebook caliphate. Look at it that way. It's the Facebook caliphate. But if they could have their own continent or their own country, this would be the way to go, right? They got enough people and enough users to do that. That's for damn sure, you know? And then interestingly, and I see this other quote I want to read you here from Matt Stoller here, his recent article, Facebook's, he talks about, let me read this to you, and I quote, "Years ago, Mark Zuckerberg made it clear that he doesn't think Facebook is a business." Now, what is it if it's not a business, people? What would Facebook be? Well, it's a social media outlet, but they made it a business early on, and they did that by creating revenue streams in a very interesting way. And how they did that is by taking your personal pages and cutting you off at 5,000, and you had to create these corporate pages, and then people have to come like you, and then you get a whole bunch of people liking you, but then you put something out there and you see that you only hit like 8 people or 18 people or 38 people, and then you realize you have to boost the post. And in order to boost the post, you got to open up your wallet, you got to open up your checkbook, your credit card, you see? That was brilliant that Facebook did that. Because remember, there was a lot of conversations years ago how to leverage these things. LinkedIn was having trouble. Twitter was having trouble. Facebook, how would they leverage this free social media? Well, that's how they leverage. They leverage by making us the product, number one. So they data mine the hell out of us. So they know everything about our lives, if you're on there. And they sell all that to prospective people who want it. And that could be all kinds of problems, as well as a lot of evil people out there. You get the picture here, what's happened here, right? And then he doesn't think Facebook's a business, it says. So in a lot of ways, Facebook is more like a government than a traditional company, Zuckerberg says. We're really set in policies. We have acted consistently as a would-be sovereign power. Well, part of the other problem, people, is they are publishers. One of the big arguments we're having in social media out there right now, and it's beyond Facebook, it's Twitter, it's all these social media companies, they are deciding what policies to put out there, what ideologies to put out there, what thought process to put out there, what political opinions they're going to put at the top of the heap here, and which ones they're going to use their algorithms to slow down a little bit, you see? Well, at that point, people, that makes them a publisher. Obviously, they're no longer an independent sort of social media environment. And now there's been a lot of conversation on the Hill and in political hallways. Should they be regulated? That's another conversation we've been having. And I'm fascinated with that because a lot of us don't like a lot of regulation. We don't want a lot of government. But here you've got some runaway companies, Facebook being one. And they're not the only one. Google is another. Twitter is another. I mean, there's a litany of these people here. And they own a lot. And it's okay to own a lot when you're in a capitalist society, people, but it's what you're going to do with that and the power you have. And are you a monopoly? Because a lot of these business models have not stayed true to where they started. So that independent social media company that Facebook was going to be early on, they are no longer that. They are a different animal today, people. That's really the problem we got to look at here is we connected Aunt Tilly and your grandma across the city and your friends that moved out of state. And the question I pose to you is this. Is Mark Zuckerberg a Trojan horse of corporate oligarchy?
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android or Alexa.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Lisa, I'd like you to welcome on here. L. Todd Wood is here. He's a national security expert and political analyst. He is the publisher of CD Media. He's a veteran Air Force pilot and author. So, Todd, I posed that question, and I, you know, you have a lot of thoughts on this. You've written, you've talked about it. Is Mark Zuckerberg a Trojan horse of corporate oligarchy?
I would say he's definitely a Trojan horse, and yes, to the, as an oligarch, but it's deeper than that. I think that what he is doing is actually tyrannical, and I'll get into why I think that. First of all, Facebook is nothing but a huge surveillance network. All it is to take information from people and then sell that information. Now, what is striking is that you don't even have to sign or be in your Facebook account, or even if you delete your account, once the software is on your computer or your phone, they are mining everything you do and sending it to Facebook. It's even got so bad that if apps are on your phone, even if you never installed Facebook and have certain apps, which are a lot of them, on your phone, they are sending your data to Facebook. So what they are doing is simply criminal in my book. We just haven't had anyone in our government willing to hold them accountable. So yes to your question, but I think it goes much
deeper. Yeah. You go and search for something, and we all know all of a sudden we get hit, right, with all of these ads for that same product we looked for, right? That's the Google world, for instance. Same thing with Facebook. They're all the same because they're data mining us, which is what I said in the opening, right?
Yeah.
So we are the product.
They're very deceptive about it. That's my point.
Right. Oh, they're definitely deceptive. We are the product. I don't think a lot of people really understood that. I don't think really anybody much understood that when it was free. I guess somewhere along the line here, this all started to change, Todd, because
yes.
Talk to me on that point, because I don't get the sense it was always this way, but it's kind of morphed quickly now, hasn't it?
Well, you know, Google started their slogan when they started was "Don't be evil," and you know, I'm talking about Google when I'm including Facebook as well, because Google is even worse in respects. And just let me say this: I would encourage your listeners, if they are freedom-loving individuals, to get it off your phones, get Facebook off, get Google Chrome, anything to do with Google, Gmail. Get it off your devices, because they are tracking everything you do. And now anyone can pay Google or someone in Google and find your location, find anything. So it's really dangerous. And you mentioned that from a safety perspective. But, you know, from a law enforcement, from a just a habeas corpus perspective, I mean, you know, we have freedoms and rights here that these devices and software are taking away. That's what people need to know, is that these devices and this software is extremely dangerous. And there are a lot of options now to replace what they do for free that don't track you.
The advice you put out there right now, let's talk about that a moment here. Talk about the Facebook apps, the Google apps, the search engine. Like, even search engines, there's another one that people need to know about that's called DuckDuckGo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very good, and it's private. It's all private. There's none of that data mining and following going on. We all are designed for speed. We want something quick, Todd, and we want it now. I mean, that's the way we're designed today, right? I mean, let's face it. And it's about convenience. It's not so much about – we don't often think about the safety and security, I'm saying, before the convenience and the fact we want it now.
Sure.
In the same way, when those messages come up, Todd, and they say – you know, when the message comes up on your phone or your computer and it says, okay – just hit okay here because we're going to own your firstborn and we want X amount of your life. We don't really read those, do we, buddy?
No, and hopefully Congress will address that issue, because that's deceptive and criminal also. But, you know, the search engines are a big problem. And yes, DuckDuckGo is a great one that doesn't track you. Gab just came out with a new one, which allows, you know, which completely removes all the ad trafficking that they're doing now. So there are alternatives, and people just have to search them out. And there's plenty of, you know, conservative sites out there. They can contact me, and I'll give them a lot of ideas. But it's not just the search engine. If you have an Android phone, mm-hmm. you can download your file from Google. They track you every 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. So if you're having an affair, if you're robbing a bank, if you're doing something you don't want people to know, they know already where you've been, what you're doing. You know, it's horrible.
Now, that's a couple of extremes out there. People are now listening and they're saying, robbing a bank, having an affair. I don't know. Well, exactly. No. I don't know where people fall in those categories, but your point is well taken, is that whatever you're doing in your life, I mean, we're supposed to have a sense of privacy, right? Todd, is what you're saying. Whatever the hell
it is. I don't understand how deep it goes into your life. And that's why I mentioned those examples. You know, because, you know, everybody has something they don't want the whole world to know about. But if they have an Android phone, highly likely they already know. They're listening to you on your phone. Mm-hmm. In your house. Mm-hmm. You know, if you own an Amazon Alexa, or, you know, I don't know all the Alexa.
Alexa.
They're listening to you. People are literally listening to you in your house. It's a surveillance.
Yeah. All that information goes into databases, and they have it stored because the authorities have tried to get those in some public cases recently, you know, Todd. They've tried to get that information in there. Let me ask you, personally speaking, because I'm learning here as well, do you use any – I don't use the Alexa or any of these. Are you using any of those?
Not at all. No. In fact, I would like to find an option. I have an iPhone, which is, you know, the best choice out of a lot of bad choices.
Right.
But, they do protect privacy much more than Google, but they still, you know, there's some problems with Apple as well. But no, I don't have an Alexa. I would never put that in my house.
Right. Now, have you stopped using Google search yourself personally, or do you still use them? You do? All right. That's good. So which one are you using, brother?
I use DuckDuckGo, and I'm looking hard at this Gab to Center, which is really has a lot of good features.
I've been hearing about it. I have not used it or looked at it, but I've heard the news on it. So you're saying that as a possibility is another option, huh?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's even better than DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo just doesn't track you. I don't know if they send the ad data or not. I'm not. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. We've addressed now the data mining part of this thing, which is everybody should understand at this point that we're the product. And you hear what Todd puts out there and what I'm telling you, we are all the product. And I like what he just said, because his advice is right up front. Like, I'm curious. I mean, he says he stopped using it as well. So I think we all need to really take a look. I've been seeing a lot of reports lately, Todd, where people are saying if we could convince everybody to get off of Gmail and everybody to get off of Google itself, then, well, it's the same thing with Facebook though. But Todd, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. How do you look at the numbers I mentioned about Facebook when we came into this conversation? How do we convince enough people? Because I'm not on Facebook personally. Are you on Facebook?
You know, I have it on one browser, which is Firefox. And the only reason I have it there, and it's only on my laptop, I didn't put it on my phone. Firefox has what's called a Facebook condom, and you can literally open a separate identity, and Facebook can't look past that identity.
Interesting.
I only use Facebook. But I say I use their, because people are like, "Why are you still on it?" I say, "But I'm using their technology against them." I have hundreds of thousands of followers, and you know, on multiple different social media channels, and I use that channel as an effective way to get information, you know, freedom-loving information out to people. But I don't interact on it.
All right. Talk to me on your thoughts. You've been following the story about the Facebook coin, the cryptocurrency kind of thing they're looking to do with their own coin. Mm-hmm. This is a real story, right? I mean, they want to have their own currency.
Well, most people don't know much about cryptocurrency. What Facebook is doing is not crypto at all. It's an online currency. Well, let me say this. It's not decentralized as most cryptocurrencies are. Mm-hmm. Centralized by Facebook, which means that Zuckerberg has full control. Now with Bitcoin, nobody has control. And that's why the central banks are so scared of it, because it could replace fiat money that we have today. Mm-hmm. But Facebook is being very deceptive. It's completely controlled by Zuckerberg. So like all this we've been saying, where they read your Gmail, they scan it for anything, they know where your phone is, they know everything you're looking at. They know what you're looking for on the net. Let's add to that they know everything you spend money on, and they have control of your money. And maybe they don't like it that you're going to buy a gun. So maybe they take all your money and shut your account down. Think of that. I mean, that's the next level 1984 Chinese communist surveillance we're going to. And by the way, all these companies are in bed with Chi-Coms in Beijing, who are developing this for the communist surveillance systems. Where do you think all this is coming from? It's coming from the Communist Party of China. And it's just, you know, completely totalitarian. So if you are a freedom loving American, get this crap off your phone. Don't touch Zuckerberg's currency.
Yeah, that's good. That what you put out there. I'm so glad you made the China connection there too, to remind people, Todd, who's behind a lot of this stuff. Technologically, you're exactly right. We're hearing more and more rumblings. You mentioned a moment ago, a bit ago here, about the political aisles are not really looking at these companies like Google, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. What are your thoughts on that? Is that inevitable at this point that these companies are going to have to be regulated?
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of questions as to whether these companies should be broken up. And I believe they should be via antitrust legislation, not even regulation. I don't trust regulatory action to be able to handle this. I think that the government has to come in and split up these companies. They've become too powerful. They're monopolies. And
are you speaking of the same way that we broke up Ma Bell years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. So you're talking more than just, this is interesting. I haven't talked to anybody about this. So we've been talking about regulating it, but you're saying that's not even enough. They need to be broken up.
They have too much power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they look at this with the addition of the cryptocurrency. They're going to own the financial system of the world. They're going to own the advertising system. They're a surveillance state.
But we gave them the power, didn't we, though? With all these users, I mean, you got billions of users now. I mean, we gave them the power, didn't we?
Yeah, people were duped. They were not told the truth. And if people were said, okay, you can sign up and have this free software where you can connect with your grandparents, but
exactly,
it's going to cost you your freedom, I don't think people would have made that choice. They didn't know. They were duped.
That's exactly it. See, I just want people to hear what you're saying right there. People were duped. I also agree with that. I do not think people really fully understood the level of, right?
Yeah, I didn't understand myself until recently.
No, none of us knew. None of us knew how bad it was. And now we see we're totally been double duped, triple duped. They've doubled and tripled down is what they're doing now. Now, with some of the comments we're seeing now at Facebook, obviously Zuckerberg realizes the power he has. It's not just power and money. Sure, he's got a lot of money, but he's got the power within all these. The real money is with the users, the billions of people he has. In the case of Facebook, I mean, the two biggest ones I'm seeing is Facebook and Google, which you and I've just talked about here back and forth. More than a lot of them are headed the same way, really. But these are the two biggest ones. And yet, I don't think people are really, I mean, we talk about, is government really going to break them up, number one? So here's the question I'm wondering. Will government really break them up, or will they regulate, or will people really come to that Jesus moment to figure out how corrupt these companies are? Something's got to give.
I would like to think the second would happen. I've seen a lot of that happen among my colleagues. People are starting to become aware. People are moving to more to other, you know, and the social media giants are threatened by this. You see what they did to Gab, which is
right,
an alternative, free speech alternative to Twitter, which has 1 million users now. Twitter only has 300 million. So the fact that they grew that rapidly, they went after them big time. They shut down their hosting company. They deplatformed. They took away their domains. They took away their payment processors. They infected the system with bots. They have, because they see that, and now Gab is coming out with a distributed network where nobody can control. You're going to have servers for their system on everybody's computer, so it'll be decentralized, which is brilliant. So that, and then Pavel Durov in Russia is also developing a new decentralized social media system and decentralized cryptocurrency to go with it. So there's a lot of innovations happening. People need to know, but you know, the bulk of people probably won't do that. So I think the government has to come in. I hope Trump will focus on it once he's reelected.
Right. That's the key, right, what you say right there. You hear about the new one too, Parler?
Yeah, I've tried to get on it a few times. They've got some problems with capacity. You know, my goal as a person who interacts with people all over the web all day long is to be on as many platforms as possible and just let the one that's going to win, and I'll be there.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And that is the power of social media, though. And see, that's on the positive side of social media, Todd, is it really connected people. It bridged the gap.
Sure.
But again, without those rules, but there were no rules. So really what we've seen here is it was the Wild West of connectivity, wasn't it?
Well, there were rules. It's just they had exceptions in their lives. You know, I mean, they didn't tell the truth.
Well, but no, but they created the rules, Todd. They really weren't rules. And then they set those messages up on your phone to quickly hit okay when you wanted to access the site that everybody else was on.
Yeah, they were deceptive. And Congress won't act because they're bought and paid for. So, you know, Google and Facebook give all those people millions of dollars every year.
So you see now with you see this as a second administration sort of thing with Trump. You believe he will be able to begin to crack this nut?
I think Trump is giving them rope to hang themselves. You know, he's had Dorsey to the White House. He's, you know, it's just like the immigration thing. I'll give 2 weeks, get it done, or I'm going to start deporting. He looks like a statesman, and he's doing the same thing with these people. He's letting them hang themselves, giving them a lot of rope, and, you know, that's what I think is going on.
Yeah, that is well said, because I think you're right. If you look at his actions right now and what he's doing out there, you're right. He's given them enough rope. That's probably it, to hang themselves to see if they're going to make adjustments. Obviously, they're not making adjustments, Todd. They're not doing anything.
Huh? They're doubling down. I mean, Google, like I said, Google and Facebook are literally right now trying to subvert the election. That's called treason, sedition.
That's right.
You know, whatever word you want to use. You know, right. Washington sent an army to put down the Whiskey Rebellion. It's the same thing.
So why do you think, I mean, let's look at the psychology of what you just said. Why do you think they're really not getting the memo? I mean, they're just that arrogant and ignorant?
They've made a conscious decision that they can pay any fines that'll be hit by regulators. Even if it's $10 billion, they can handle it. They've done it with, you know, with Europe. They've got the money stashed away. They're so powerful, they're not scared. So they have made a decision to subvert the will of the American people.
They're so powerful. Their will, that's it. Exactly right there, man. And that's the size and scope of it, because we've given them all of this. And now we've all been duped. And now they've got this whole coin thing coming out. So at this point here, best guess then, I guess you're believing is going to be in a second round of the Trump administration. And if that will make the difference.
We could see a lawsuit, you know, coming.
Yeah, what do you think about that? What do you think about lawsuits?
Well, that's an antitrust action is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it has to go through the courts. So even if he started it now, it would be 3 or 4 or 5 years before it happened. So
right.
He may see that come out prior to the election. I think he's trying to make it very clear to them what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, Trump's a smart man. People mm-hmm. underestimate him over and over and over and over.
Exactly.
He knows what's happening, and he's laying the groundwork.
You know, the other thought, Todd, is this. A lot of people, their eyebrows go up when you talk about a globalist movement. And with having you on here a minute, this is something you study around the world and your work and all. I want to touch on the fact of a moment. I think a lot of people, a lot of conservatives will begin to ask, well, why would people who love their country do what they're doing, such as the Zuckerbergs or, you know, these big companies that are doing what they're doing? And then you understand that there's, you know, to me, Zuckerberg is a future kind of a George Soros kind of fellow. He's a big globalist. You see his theories, his thought processes, his ideology, where he's from, what he's doing. And he's exactly what he is. So when just because Soros is old, if something happens to him, there's enough people to fill that vacuum, including his own family, which we've been reporting on and talking about. Mm-hmm. But I think with the whole globalist thing, take a moment. I just want people to truly understand, because you're pragmatic. Take a look at all of this now. I mean, what I always wrestle, Todd, with the idea of we have real conspiracy type people out there, and I'm not one of them. And I don't think you are as well. And then we have pragmatists who look at this thing and say, okay, but there, the wall has been lifted off of my eyes. And I believe a lot of these people are in bed with each other in a globalist movement. And I think that's become more apparent to all of us, hasn't it?
Oh yeah. Especially in the last year, 18 months. And
exactly.
A lot of us who were raised, in middle America, with families and church and patriotism, and we just can't believe that somebody would want to give that up and not even want to, but work to destroy what we want for our children. And people have to realize these people don't care. They see you as somebody to just be cast aside, and because you're stupid and you live in Kansas or whatever, you know, you're in flyover country. They don't care about you, your values, the country. They care about wealth and power, and, you know, they have it and they don't want to lose it, and they'll do anything to not lose it. And so it's really just, it's a fight that we're going to have to fight for this country and the republic over the next 2 to 6 years.
It is a fight, people. I want everybody to hear what Todd says there. And also, let me remind you, L. Todd Wood, he again, publisher of CD Media, the work he is doing, I think, around the world is fantastic. And he's got great reporters and columnists and people out there. The stories they put out, Zionism and other groups within the group, it's truly an amazing operation. Please check that out. But what he says there is very much an eye-opening statement there. And as you see, the power we've given these companies here. And what we've got to do now is understand, how do we take it back, people? How do we take that back? Because he just spelled it out. You know, we don't really know where government's going to go with all this at the end of the day. But again, if you're part of those billions of users, I think it's time to take an inventory count yourself. And I think we all need to step back this minute. Look at our Gmail accounts, please, if you've got them out there. Look at your search engines. Look at using the Google versus DuckDuckGo. Just search DuckDuckGo. Comes up immediately. Todd's already using it. I use it as well. It's solid. It's really, really good, and probably more the wave of the future for us patriots who really want our own privacy back here. So,
our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
It's one thing to talk about these things. It's another thing to do it. And we got to all stop a minute and all be accountable for what we're doing. So it's time to do an inventory, people. I think all of us, including the people on the line here and the people I'm going to introduce to you next, if you have a Gmail account, I think we're all going to have to agree to lose them. If we're using Google search, we're also going to have to agree to lose that. And you're going to have to DuckDuckGo. It's free. And they don't want anything, but that is a real free there. That's not a free where they data mine you. That's their product. And so there's a difference, because all this other stuff that is free, you got to be careful, clearly. But the Facebook thing, you're probably one of the billions of people that are, you know, that have been sucked up into their environment. If you're on there and that's something else you're doing, that's another thing we got to talk about, you know, is that whole environment of Facebook and social media stuff. So, well, let's get to our panel of voices here, please, and welcome on Ilana Friedman. Ilana's a veteran intelligence analyst, political commentator, and host here on America Out Loud. Her new book, Hamas, The Story of Islamic Jihad on Israel's Front Lines, is on Amazon and in the America Out Loud bookstore, people. Jim McKay is here. He's a political analyst, commentator, radio producer here at America Out Loud. Ilana, Jim, shall we hear Todd, L. Todd Wood, and hear what he's we're talking about from a security aspect? And he laid out some good things to remind people, and I'm glad people could hear it from another person like that, because I could preach all day long, but we got to get a group of us together to understand what's really going on. When we talk and we see, Ilana, when we talk about Facebook and we talk about the Facebook coin and we see the power that Zuckerberg has, Todd said we've been duped. We've been duped. And they gave it for free. They realized how to leverage. They realized how to make money, because that was the controversy, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, is how to leverage this thing financially. They figured out how to leverage it. They've made a ton of money, and now they have a lot of power. And as you said, they've got billions of dollars in offshore accounts and other stuff that they can pay any fine coming their way and then some. What do you say to that?
Well, I say it's honestly very terrifying, because we've all been sucked in one way or another, either by our search engines or by programs like Facebook, and you know, Facebook is particularly insidious because, first of all, it's free, which, you know, everybody likes free things. But more than that, it invites you to participate in a community, you know, encourages you to say things that maybe you wouldn't normally share online. Where were you born? Where do you live? What do you like?
I'm going on holiday next Tuesday. I'll be out of town for 2 weeks, Ilana. I'll leave the key under the milk can at the front door, Ilana, okay?
That's exactly, and that's what you were referring to before. People will come to your house and rob you blind. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing, you know, so you've been duped into doing all this. And then, as you say, you become the product. Mm-hmm. How do they make their money? By selling your information. And to some of the people they sell it to are not particularly worthy of having your information. Yeah, and in fact, they're the last people in the world you want to have it. So this is when you take it then into the monetary thing, they're coming up with their own coins, their financial network will be modeled on the social network. And eventually their plan is to merge the two networks into a single network through which you can basically buy or transfer money as easily as you transfer photographs of your cat or your political opinions and so forth. Yeah. That's scary.
Boy, that's a load there, Jim. But I think the whole key to this that she says is the people who are buying your information, your data, your stuff, whatever your stuff is. Here's the thing. What I like about what Ilana just said is that there are less than choir boy characters out there. You have a lot of evil people and evil doers that are looking for our information. In fact, a lot of this falls on the dark web and will end up on the dark web, and your emails and your private information will go on the dark web and be sold to the highest bidder with these chains of drugs and human trafficking chains and other groups of evil people. But like she says, you don't know who your stuff is even being sold to. See, you have no say in it. So if you give me all your information and you're on Facebook and I got your birth date, Jim, and I got your information and your private information and your wife and your kids, and I know what you're doing for holiday, and I know what your likes and your dislikes are, and I know you want to buy a system and you're looking to buy a drone and you're doing this and that and the other, man, I got a lot, Jim. And if I can sell that to some companies, that's an awful lot of leverage, isn't it?
It's tremendous leverage. And if you look at the two biggest evils today that people put up with is telemarketing, robocalls, and outfits like Facebook. Take a little old lady in Podunk, Iowa or something. She communicates on Facebook with her children and grandchildren. And all of a sudden, she's getting 150 robocalls a day from all these companies that have gotten hold of her Facebook information, who she is, where she lives, what her circumstances are. And they're bombarded not only with legitimate ads, but scams. Everything scams from IRS to Social Security to insurance, you name it, the scams out there are unbelievable. All of this is generated out of the social media networks.
Right. Well, Ilana's talking about, we talk about the Facebook coin as well. Do you think Facebook pulls this off, Jim?
Yes, they are huge. And, you know, if you look at the example that Todd gave was breaking up of Ma Bell, the Bell company.
What do you think of that?
I think it's only a temporary move, because what you'll do is you'll take Facebook and they'll probably say, well, we'll keep the United States 350 million users and give the rest of the world to five or six other independent subsidiaries that are, you know, that we only have a small interest in. Mm-hmm. 10 years later, they'll be back in one big entity, bigger and better and stronger than ever before. AT&T did the same thing. I mean, AT&T now, they're the largest cable network company in the world. They have the satellite DirecTV network. They have
What's the answer? If that's not, so what you just said, even breaking those up like Ma Bell, which he pointed out, is still not the answer. What's the answer?
The answer has to be individual responsibility. I mean, if you leave your computer on all day long and they're data mining and they're listening to everything you're doing in your home, you're a fool, number one, and also spending a lot more on electricity than you need to be. You go on, go to your Amazon account, order what you need, get off, shut it down.
Hmm. Now, interesting.
Breaking the systems up is a temporary thing. These new companies, these new search engines, nothing's free. Eventually, they have to figure out a way to pay for the business.
All right. So you're saying then we're going to need this public. You're saying the only way forward, which is where we started a lot of this talk today, and what we're talking is personal responsibility. Right? I mean, it's what you're saying, more or less. So we're off of that. But let's go around the room here. But Ilana, you, Jim, ourselves, we all use Google search. Let's all be honest with each other, please. We all use Google. I use DuckDuckGo as well. But I also fall into the same thing as you do. I use Google search, not thinking of it. Aren't we all guilty?
Well, I actually use something called StartPage. They use Google search, but they're an intermediary and they claim to be private. I'm going to try DuckDuckGo as well. I'm interested in this whole concept of how you break up a company and how they recover, because Microsoft went through that, I guess, about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they started to acquire companies. And what they would do is they would pay a startup company in all kinds of technologies. They'd pay them $10 million and they'd buy a couple of seats on the board. And within a year, all the original board members, including the chairman and the founder of the company, would be gone. And that is what it seems, as far as what I can tell so far, that is what Facebook is doing. And it's looking at Snapchat and it's looking at Instagram and it's trying to figure out how to acquire these companies so that they don't have the competition.
Well, that's what they all do. Any good company will do that, right? You always want to buy your competitors if you can, Ilana, right?
But it's a different kind of dynamic, because it's not just that you're buying a company to empower your company. What you're doing is buying them so that you can destroy them. And that's not the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what China's doing to us in technology, thievery of intellectual property, and also this mandated technology transfer when they work with American companies. It's a lot cheaper to steal and to buy than it is to invent on your own.
Yeah, they made a career out of that for sure. So what I'm interested in knowing then, so I look at this as multiple facets here. One, we've been discussing on this network about deregulation, number one. Number two, we've been talking about now in this program here about breaking down the mob bell type attitudes, okay? Two. And then if those don't work, and then, which is really getting your government involved in those two animals. And then the third thing is, Jim says personal responsibility. But how, I mean, that's a caveat that I don't think means anything. Because how do you convince enough people? Like, I'm not on Facebook, but Jim, you're on Facebook, right?
No.
You're on Facebook.
I don't use Facebook at all.
You're not on Facebook at all. I'll be
damned. No, I hate
Ilana,
it.
Ilana, are you on Facebook?
I am.
Okay, so see, you're on Facebook.
And
okay.
All the personal information is wrong. That doesn't mean anything. But in the end, it doesn't mean anything, because what Todd said is that if you are on, you are giving them access to your computer, to your phone.
That's right.
And that is significant, because what that means is it doesn't matter what you put on Facebook.
Yeah.
They can access all the other things you're doing. I don't have Facebook on my phone. I don't use any social media on my phone. But I do have some on my computer because it's part of my work.
How do we create a PR campaign, an aggressive enough campaign, to convince enough people to remove themselves from a Facebook, or to remove those apps from the phones, or to log in and log out when you use it at the very least, or disengage from Facebook? How do we convince enough people? How does that happen? Jim, how does that happen?
You know, that's like an impossible task almost.
Exactly.
When you think about it. Because A, you have to educate the public to it. And if you start doing that, you're going to get the dynamic denials from mainstream media, who is part and parcel of this whole algorithm of limiting free speech and communication, sending out a single narrative. Try to overwhelm that. It's just not going to happen until it really blows up in people's faces somehow. And I don't know what that is going to be.
Well, I think the approach has to be legal rather than social, because if they're breaking laws, if what they're doing is illegal, then they have to be stopped through the courts.
Well, what are they doing that's illegal, Alana? Let's talk about that a moment, please. What are they doing that's illegal?
Well, what I'm not, first of all, I'm not a lawyer in any field, but I would, that if what they're doing are deceptive practices, that there might be some kind of legal process to address that.
Okay. All right. Well, here's my guess.
Okay.
I'm going to say to you that they have a parade of lawyers that look at all this stuff. They have a parade of lawyers that look at all of their agreements. They have a parade of lawyers who decide all of these things, bar none. They know what's legal and not legal. And I believe I don't think they legally probably cross the line to be illegal. But when you talk about duping people, like Todd talked about duping, and you just mentioned that as well, Alana. Well, sure. But duping people isn't necessarily illegal. It's a lot of that's just called fancy marketing, Alana. It's just fancy marketing.
Well, the thing is, Facebook and Google and these other companies, they are all exempted from liability because of this congressional thing they were granted some years ago that is now being challenged in Congress, whether they should be liable, their status of either that of a publisher or a communications firm, providing a communications platform, or are they publishing information? Liability is the biggest issue that they're facing. If they are, that status is revoked and they're liable for what's going on their platforms, whether it's whether they generate it or other entities generate it, and all of a sudden there's a level of culpability and liability to them, mm-hmm. that could have a big significance on how they operate.
Well, Todd and I talked about also the possibility that President Trump has given them enough rope to hang themselves, those were his words that he said, literally. Now, when you see where we're at right now, because my real question on all of this is, where is the powers to be on this? Because we've allowed them to get this big. The people gave them the map, the rules. We allowed them to do it. We said okay to all those messages that came on our phones and our iPads and our computers. And we kept saying okay. All right, give us okay. Okay, let us track where you're at. Okay, let us see what you have. Okay, we kept hitting okay. And then we're the same ones to bitch about the fact that, well, we don't like the fact that, but we kept saying okay. So when is it not okay? Well, it's not okay anymore. Well, too bad, so sad. We got all your information. Go play with yourself. Well, I don't like that. But you kept saying okay. So when is it not okay for it to be okay? Well, it's not okay anymore. I got that, all right? So now it's not okay. So now the government gets involved, let's say, and whatever's going to happen. But you say, where are the powers to be? Because we don't, all right, listen, we don't like it anymore, guys. We don't like it. It's no longer okay. Let's put that out there a moment, please, in the universe, okay? It's no longer okay. Does everybody agree with me out there? It's not okay. Stop screwing us. Okay, got it. Now that's out there, people. We got that part, okay? Are we going to be ready to kick them in the nuts, basically, Jim, or what? These social media companies, is that what we're going to do? How are we going to take these people down?
Well, you're going to take them to court. You're going to sue their butts. Even when Zuckerberg was sitting before the Senate hearings, and I'd love the comment from the one senator, I think it was Kennedy, that says, Mr. Zuckerberg, your user agreement sucks. Well, it's 21 pages of text that's impossible to read on your cell phone.
Yeah.
And people are giving away the stuff. So when Zuckerberg says, we haven't stolen anything from anybody, he's absolutely right.
He is. That's why I say, so they're not illegal. Bringing them into court doesn't mean you're going to win, Jim.
Well, what's going to happen? But liability is a different thing, because when stuff comes across their platform that is not the truth, that is scandalous, that is outrageous in many ways, embarrassing people, untruthful, whether it's generated by media, it's generated by companies or individuals, they are going to be held complicit in the liability of that information. That's where you bring them down.
Maybe that is the way. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, there's not much else you can do.
That's not much else you can do. And you know, the other thing, Ilana, it's a very, very long process. By the time we come back and get anywhere on this, they'll probably have every person on the planet. How many billions are those? Sir Jim, do the math quick. How many billions on the planet?
They have about, well, the world has about 8 billion and they have about half of them.
Exactly. Well, yeah, we're not quite half, 2.38 billion, but they may have half by the time they're done, Jim.
Yeah. Well, that's active users. They actually have 3.6 billion subscribers.
I see. So the rest of those people are no longer on there. They're not active.
They're relatively inactive users.
Yeah, gotcha. It's going to be a long process, Ilana. Whatever happens. But so the only way to really effectively do this is for people to take control back of their lives. And my other guess is not allow these people to track us. In order to do that, Ilana, you have to log in and log out. So like, and it's a pain in the ass. Let's call it what it is, Ilana. But if you're on like Google or Android or Apple or Zoogle or Maps or this or that, it takes a couple of more moments of your life. But you understand the only way to make that happen is to log in and log out. You know that.
Yeah. And one other thing, I was playing with my phone while you were interviewing Todd, and I tried to dislodge Gmail, right, and I couldn't.
Wow.
It won't let me uninstall.
It won't let you uninstall. Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. I'll figure it out, and I will get it off my phone. But I thought that was very interesting.
Well, that's like the fact you can't get married. You can't get rid of a bad wife or a husband. You can't get rid of them either, Ilana, right? It's the same thing, man.
Couldn't tell by me.
A six-month waiting period.
It's a six-month waiting period, Jim. That's exactly it. Here's the lessons from all of this here as we talk to Jim here and Ilana and assist people. There are evil people out there. There are a lot of evil companies, evil organizations. A lot of these people they're vying for our information. They're vying for our data. They're vying for our life's blueprint, our footprint, if you will. And that's really what they're buying, because we are indeed the product. So the only way that's really going to do this, we need a public awareness campaign, truly. I guess what we need to realize now, people, in this moment of this come to Jesus moment, is that it's a bad trade-off. It's a bad trade-off, because we're all going down if we continue this road here. And we're empowering a few people who don't have our best interest at heart, people. I mean, the powers at Google, the powers at Facebook, the powers at Twitter, the powers at Apple. Do any of you really think that they have our best interest at heart? Really now. Answer me honestly. Exactly. Not a chance. The only one that has your best interest at heart is you. It's yourself. And that's where it starts. That's where it ends. So back to the point of what McKay was putting out there, personal responsibility. We've all got to do the deed here. And we've all got to disengage the Gmail account you got. There are plenty of other email services out there. Plenty of people to be able to utilize for real. And use those. Use your own corporate settings. Use other things you can do. And there are services out there that are free. Just search for it. I've got to get my arms more around this to help you all out and try to get some of these services out there that are legit, so you can have an easier road here ahead. We got some work to do here. There's no question about it. But you know, at the end of the day, people, with all this information, there's one thing we all got to remember. It's time for us, each, for me, for you, for our friends and loved ones to get involved and get loved.